Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
That you are very familiar with. However, we're not going to stay on it very long. We're moving to another scripture that I believe is going to help us. I want to talk to you this morning for a little while on living in victory in the last days. Somebody say that with me while you're writing the check for $100,000. Dale, I want you to know I appreciate that check so very much. Hallelujah. Everybody else just buttoned up. Thank you, Dale. Dale said that by faith. I believe if God gave it to her to give, I believe that woman would give it, and I'm praying God give it to her. Hallelujah. I believe she would do that in a heartbeat. Praise the Lord. Amen. And my Grand Cherokee. Anyway, moving right. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. Hallelujah. I'm happy today. Can you tell I'm happy this morning? Amen. I have been with the Lord last night, and He was so sweet and precious to me that I couldn't help but come to church happy. I have shelved my burdens. I have recentered my focus upon Jesus, and it always leaves me in this condition, no matter what the conditions are around me and about me. I don't come to church to see what the mood is here. I don't come to see how many people have decided to show up on Sunday morning. I come here because God promised to meet with us if we would assemble in His name. And if God is here, I'm a happy camper. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. One of these days that's going to pay off because God says He'll be faithful in the tough times and I can trust Him, hallelujah, to come in with victory no matter what the circumstance in His life or around His life. Praise God. And we need that kind of preacher today that cannot preach on what bugs him, but preach on what God wants His people to hear. Hallelujah. So I'm not going to gripe and complain too much. Amen. I'm going to move on to the good things of the Lord. Amen. Another title for this sermon, it might just be a long title, Living in Victory in the Last Days or Precious Promises for Perilous Times. I like that because it's easy to remember. Precious promises. Say it with me. Precious promises for perilous times. Amen. How many know we need victory desperately in the last days? I mean, we needed it in every generation. But especially the church that would be under the gun in the last days. We need God's victory. The Bible clearly teaches that in the last days, perilous times would come. The Greek word is outrageous. And all you have to do is listen to the news, pick up the paper, look around at society as it is today. And we are outraged. If you are not outraged, you should be. You should be sensitive. You shouldn't be overcome by it and overwhelmed by it, but you should feel a sense of outrage at what Satan is doing in our world today and what our world is becoming. Amen. I think that someone said, I wouldn't give you a dime for a man that loses his temper, but I wouldn't give you a nickel for a man who didn't have one. There's a time for righteous indignation. There's time for righteous people to be stirred. And honey, there's never been a time like this that the Church of Christ ought to be stirred. I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ, universal, not the denomination. Although the Church of Christ needs stirring. And so does the Pentecostal Church. With all of our claim to Spirit-filled experiences, amen, you know Pentecostal people, amen, that don't have victory. Amen, don't have victory in their home, in their personal life, in their spiritual life, and yet they speak in tongues and shout and have a good time on Sunday morning. But that is not the same as having personal victory in your life. And God wants you to know more than a Sunday morning blessing. He wants you to have the blessing of victory in your life over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. The reason the world is so filled with danger and trouble and sorrow, this word perilous, is because of the wickedness of fallen man. Amen. There's a reason our world is in the condition it's in. And it's because of what men have become within this world. You can trace it back to the fall, but you can watch the degeneration continue through every other generation. So 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5 is a descriptive portion of Scripture about the last days. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And here's the reason for it. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. I love the illustration that Doug made me when we go on TV, we'll use that to illustrate a sermon. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody laughed. Well, Sarah laughed too, but amen. And then God did his miracle, and amen. God could still do all these. I don't have to be on television, but it could happen. Anything could happen. But if I was, I'd use that illustration when I talked about this scripture, because the trunk of the tree is self-love. The ultimate idolatry. Everybody say the ultimate idolatry. The ultimate idolatry is not bowing to a stone Buddha in Thailand. The ultimate idolatry, amen, is self-love. There's no idol any more consuming than that idol. And it is an idol that is worshipped publicly all over America and even in many churches today. There's a lot of so-called gospel that is just oriented for people to be gratified within themselves in the immediate fleshly sense, not in the spiritual, eternal sense. Don't get me wrong. There's gratification in serving Jesus. There's joy in His presence. But it's not the joy of a Lamborghini, and it's not the joy, amen, of a five-bedroom mansion on a hill. It's the joy of Jesus in the heart. Hallelujah. None of the rest of that can touch it. And without Jesus in the heart and a personal, intimate relationship with Him, all the rest of it is meaningless. Men will be lovers of their own selves. That's the trunk of this tree, out of which all of the results of this wickedness comes, and this ultimate idolatry comes. Here are the branches of that tree: covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heavy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. That's why we have a movement now called the Seeker Sensitive Church, because we want to make church something that will accommodate people who love pleasure more than God going in. And the idea behind it may be good, because they say, well, let's get them in by hook or crook, and when we get them in, then we can introduce them to the Lord and get them to love God. Honey, whatever gets them in, you better keep giving it to them to keep them in. Because if you ever change it to the old rugged cross and taking up your cross out of such a devoted love for Him that you would live a self-sacrificing life if called upon in order to serve Him, amen, you're going to find that the people that came in just for the goodies and don't know Him intimately are not going to be willing to sacrifice anything for Him. Can you say amen? So whatever you get them in with, you better keep it up. That's why if we get them in at all, let's get them in with the cross and the preaching of the cross. Because if they come in because of what He did on the cross and they're willing to live for Him and die for Him if called upon, you'll have a real disciple of Jesus, and you'll have a church where the Spirit of God truly moves, and you'll have people whose lives reflect the change that loving God makes in serving Him. Can you say amen? That is not legalism. It's just loyalty to Jesus. There's a difference in trying to be saved by works and getting saved and having some works that correspond with what your testimony is. Amen? Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Don't follow these people. I'm going to read this from this familiar King James passage from a paraphrase that's very, very good. And you'll maybe relate it more in a contemporary sense with words we can better understand. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God. Hello? Disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. You ever watch what happens to the Christian faith in the movies and the media? Amen. If they did that in a Muslim country, they'd burn it to the ground. Don't go out and burn it to the ground. It's not the Christian way. It's not God's will to burn an abortion clinic, to burn anything to the ground. Put up your sword, he told Peter. My kingdom is not of this world. The judgment hasn't come yet. Thank God. Amen. We're still under His grace, and His mercy is still extended. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They did on South Park, this vile, blasphemous adult cartoon. amen, that I've never watched, because just seeing the commercials for it and reading about it is sickening. They did a thing on the Passion of Christ that I didn't see and don't want to see, but they blaspheme everything. And there was a well-known celebrity who did the voice of the cook character. I read in the paper on that, and he's part of the Scientology movement, along with Tom Cruise and others. And they were going to do a skit that was blasting Scientology. Amen. And when they came to do it, he gave up his job on there, saying a person's religion is supposed to be holy and separate and honored, and we shouldn't make fun of it. And then, you know what the people who employed him said? He had no problem cashing his checks when we were doing the same thing to the Christian faith. Isn't that amazing? The Christian faith is the one that seems to be no one stands up for. Amen. No one says, this is an affront to me. We're supposed to keep our mouth shut, stay in our cloistered little churches, and let society speak evil of our God and blaspheme His great name. And honey, I don't believe we should jump down anybody's throat, but in America, amen, where we're supposed to have freedom of speech and freedom of religion, I believe we should stand up for the right to have the name of our God, amen, kept out, amen, of the mouth of the blasphemers in America. Can you say amen? Anyway, that's my soapbox. I've been on it. I just got off of it. But thank God we still live in America. And I'm going to preach the gospel, and I'm going to revere His name. And they can say any word they want at work. I've heard them all. I preached in the prison system. My ears tingle sometimes. Amen. But when they take the name of the Lord in vain, something happens. Something on the inside of me. I can be watching a movie, and you don't have to go to R to get, you know, they won't say a four-letter word for excrement. Amen. They'll bleep that out, but they can say Jesus Christ, amen, is a curse word and not bleep that out. They can blaspheme God without any problem at all. They will be unloving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and have no interest in what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act as if they are religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. You must stay away from people like that. Can you say amen? You must stay away from people like that. By the way, you don't have so much drawback for them. Someone says, "Will I lose my ungodly friends if I really, you know, if I serve Jesus? Will I have to leave them?" No, honey, you just live godly, and they'll leave you. Amen. Amen. Just live godly. You're going to find out who really has a desire to live godly. People that have a form but no real desire, amen, for the power that can make them godly. They don't want that. They don't feel they need that. They're not coming to church to seek that. They're going to stay away in droves. Can you say amen? They have no heart for God. So if you get them in your building, what has God really got when you take the head count on Sunday morning? God's looking past all of the outward, and He's looking directly at the heart. Amen. I really don't need to draw any contemporary parallels to our day. Just look around. It's so evident. Jesus taught, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man cometh. Genesis 6:5, we find a description of the condition of the world just before the flood. Let me read it. And God saw that the wickedness of man, remember the trunk of the tree that's causing all this in the world? And God saw that the wickedness of man is great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jesus went on to say, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the day that the Son of Man cometh. Genesis 18:20 says, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom, literally, the translator of the Hebrew said, the shriek of their sin. Isn't that amazing that God is touched by that in His heaven? Amen. Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, or as one translation says, because their sin is very evil. That would be the condition before the coming of Christ in the last day generation. question I'm asking, does this affect the righteous who bow to the Lord and who live in such a world? According to 2 Peter, without God's deliverance, we would be overwhelmed and overcome simply by the society around. See the difference in us and Lot's situation. Lot chose to pitch his tent toward Sodom and move in. We did not choose that. Our culture has changed. Anyone here that's over 40 can tell you that the culture has changed. If you're over 50 or like me pushing 60, amen, it's an amazing thing to go from the Roy Rogers lunchbox and Roy Rogers as your hero on television to the anti-hero of today. Amen. People look up to the movers and the shakers and the adulterers and the ungodly with money, amen, and power and fame are the people emulate and seem to want to follow. And much of the church world wants what the world has. There's an envy. We want the forces of the Gentiles to be given unto us now, not in the kingdom to come. We want it now so we can be like them and live like them. There's a whole message out there drawing people who want to be like them instead of like Him. But the message of the New Testament is not to be like them, but to be like Him who made of Himself no reputation and didn't live for this world but live for that one. We need food and raiment. God will see to that, but we don't need to impress anybody down here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank God I realize as a Christian my relationship with Jesus is paramount. Nothing that I could have or do from people can take the place of what He has done and is doing for me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank God for deliverance from the prison of want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, not because I don't live in a gated community and drive an Escalade, but because wherever I live, Jesus is the Lord of my life and the joy of my heart. Can you say amen? That means where I am right now, I'm extremely happy and satisfied. So good this morning not to see a car and say, if I could only have that, I would be happy. I'm not telling you that if you go buy me one, I wouldn't enjoy it. What I'm telling you is, amen, there's nothing you could buy me that's going to make me any happier than the Lord is making me right now. And I'm looking forward already to the end of the service, as many of you are. Can you say, did I give you the thingy? All right, glory to God. Hallelujah. Look how this affects us. You can't live in a world like this and not be affected. You can't be immune to it. That's why the Lord wanted your attention this morning. You haven't been in the way long enough to survive the end times and keep from falling into the same traps they're falling into called the error of the wicked. We're warned lest any of us be led away by the error of the wicked. Because it looks like sometimes that they've got it together and they know where it's at. But that's a lie. Right out of the pits of hell itself. Listen to 2 Peter, this warning here. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 through 9. Listen. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot. Everybody saying delivered just Lot. Now just doesn't mean just Lot alone. It means righteous Lot, who was still a just man, making wrong decisions, but in his heart still not worshiping the gods and going after the lifestyle of those around him. Listen, but how was he affected by that decision to interact and move into that for personal gain? He was vexed, the scripture said. It didn't bring him happiness and fulfillment. It said he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them. Does that apply to us today in our culture, in our postmodern America? for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing. You can't get away from it. You pull into Blockbuster or you pull into the grocery store and someone pulls in an SUV with huge speakers and there's a rap song playing that every kind of filth is pouring forth. You can't even get your kids away from it anymore. 2 years ago and somewhere in Georgia, a bunch of parents were up in arms because at a daycare place, they were showing pre-kindergarten children the R-rated movie Children of the Corn, a horror movie, imprinting their minds with this image of children killing adults in all kinds of heinous ways. Seeing and hearing. Sex sells. They found that out, so they lace it in all of their advertising, especially in Europe, far worse than America. So you see and hear. If you work out in the public place, you see and hear. You can't help but see and hear. You can't close your ears and walk blindly through life. You're going to see and hear, and you're going to see and hear what the culture is spouting out. It does have an effect on people. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Now here's the hope for the righteous. The Lord knoweth how. Here's that promise. The Lord knoweth how. Everybody say, the Lord knoweth how. To deliver the godly out of temptations. And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Listen, God said a judgment is going to come on them. But the immediate matter right now is, He knows how to deliver you. Even in the midst of a culture like that. The Scripture actually said you can live in victory to the extent of being a witness for Him. In the midst of a wicked and perverse generation, the Scripture declares that you're to hold forth the Word of Light and the Word of Life. Can you say amen? Everybody say holding forth the Word of Light. The Scripture goes on to say, amen, that in the midst of a corrupt generation, you can partake of God's holy nature and live godly in the midst of that unholy nation. Can you say amen? The greater promises that go beyond healing and the meeting of your personal needs are the promises of becoming godly. Can you say amen? How many people would rather be godly than just get your body healed alone? How many know it's top shelf with God? Amen. Godliness is top. Say it with me. Godliness is top shelf with God. Whereby given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Saying you can become like my son. You can become holy in the midst of a corrupt generation. Listen to this. Listen. Exceeding great and precious goes into the spirit realm, touches eternity, and touches the divine, the sublime, and the holy, not just the temporal and the ethereal. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. For people that are going to wake up someday in churches that only deal with the material and temporal and say, there's got to be more that I've called to on this way to heaven than just going to church and get in the house on the hill. I need peace in my heart and power in my life. Hallelujah. To be delivered from this untoward generation. Hallelujah. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God knows how to deliver the righteous. And if we'll listen to Him and let Him, He'll deliver you and me this morning. Hallelujah. You've got to have a heart to be holy. Everybody say a heart to be holy. Let me read verse 7 and 8 from the Amplified. I love it. It said, and He rescued righteous Lot, greatly worn out. That's what vexed means. And distressed by the wanton ways of the ungodly and lawless. It was wearing on him. I said it was wearing on him. For that just man, living there among them, tortured his righteous soul every day with what he saw and heard of their wicked and unlawful deeds. bad news is that when the righteous, that the righteous are affected, and that we can become discouraged and depressed, and even worse, in danger of becoming compromised and just going with the flow. I've watched Christians do that over the years, and it's heartrending, heartbreaking. Paul put it this way: you did run well. Out of the gate, you started off with dedication and devotion and love for Jesus and determination to follow him. But then they turned right back and veered off. He said, what did hinder you? What got your attention? What captivated your heart? How did you lose sight of Jesus and eternity? Amen. I could get off on a tangent here and tell you that there's a lot of preaching today that doesn't help you stay focused on Jesus and stay close to God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what the Bible said about that. From such, turn away. Turn it off. Avoid it. It's not God's message for people living in the end time. His message to us is the same as it was to them. Come out of her, my people, lest you partake of her plagues. Babylon is under his judgment as we stand here today. But God knows how to deliver the righteous from temptation. The good news is that we can enjoy God's goodness. We can count on him to rescue us from Satan's schemes. But we got to work with him. We got to bow to him. We got to let the word begin to work in us. We got to let revival fires begin to be fanned into flame and begin to burn and begin to glow. The Lord knows how to deliver the righteous from temptations. But it's going to take more than just church attendance. We need an intimate relationship with Jesus. Amen. Everybody say Jesus. One that satisfies and safeguards our soul. The greatest buffer against what the world offers is to be so fulfilled and satisfied in Jesus that we wouldn't trade what we have in him for anything the devil dangles in front of us. Hallelujah. Amen. One that nourishes and refreshes us and strengthens us so we can live in victory in times like these. We need to drink deep. Say it with me. Drink deep. From the fountain of life. Some of you stayed last Sunday that were able to and you drank deep. I love to see you drinking deep and I love to drink with you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. The happy hour is any time that Christians begin to drink deep from the fountain of life. I am a heavy drinker. I'm coming out of the closet. And I must tell you, I drink deep. I drink deep on the way to work when I put in the CD. I drink deep on the way home when I listen to it again. Every time, amen, that I begin to sing his praise and come into his presence, hallelujah, I drink deep in his presence, hallelujah. And it makes me want more of him and not to be like them. And I don't look at them with envy, hallelujah. I look at them with pity because they don't know the pearl of great price. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They're still looking for what I've already found and possessed. David lived in a similar circumstance in his day, but he knew that God was his source of deliverance. Listen to Psalm 36, 1 through 9, quickly as we move toward a close. Listen to the condition of his day and then where his focus was to help him not be vexed and overcome and overwhelmed by it. Sounds like our day again. Sounds like all we've been talking about. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself with his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Self-love is still the trunk of that old tree. Can you say amen? The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Now, that's the condition, the wickedness of his day. But look at his focus. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains, and thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be, these people who look to God in this time, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Hello? For with thee is the fountain of life. And in thy light we shall see light. We need to drink deep from the fountain. We need to live decidedly in the light. Everybody say, we need to drink deep from the fountain. Too many people got the Holy Ghost just an exercise, a gift. He's for more than that. He's the spout where the glory comes out. Everybody say, he's the spout where the glory comes out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And we need to drink deep of that presence we're invited into, because he came to manifest that presence to us. People that are satisfied to go. I've seen people go from a Pentecostal church to some dead denominational church. And I say that with all due respect, dead. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. What else can you say about it? Amen. And have no qualms about changing over. Dear God in heaven, how could anyone who have tasted and saw that the Lord was good go to a church without any presence of God at all? It's because it was a put on. They never drank deep, because if you ever drank deep, you can't live in the desert anymore. Not if you know where the water is. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We need to drink deep from the fountain. And we need to live decidedly in the light. We need a revival that is marked by a renewed thirst for the living God. There's more here I'm going to read, but I can't go through it because time won't permit. Jesus stood, though. Maybe we can continue this tonight. Jesus stood at the Feast of Tabernacles on the last day of that Feast of Booths.
And he declared, he that is thirsty, let him come to me
and drink. Can you say amen? Tonight I hope we can go there and we can talk about that. But right now we need a revival that is marked by renewed thirst for the living God. And what David said, the heart pants after the water brooks, so my soul thirsteth after thee, O God. You know where that was written? That was written when he was in the desert, hiding from Absalom, who wanted to kill him and take the kingdom. And here he sat, saying, my deepest hunger and my greatest need is not to just not have any problems in my life, but to be in the presence of this God I love. Because if I can get into that presence, amen, if I can come into that manifest presence of this living God, amen, then all this other stuff I know will be taken care of. But my peace, my joy, my fulfillment will come just entering into that presence. Just get me in that presence. Can you say, amen, I'm hungry for the living God? What happens when people hunger and thirst for righteousness? They're filled. What happens when they're really filled? You have a mighty revival breaking forth. But it begins with thirst. And it begins with looking to him who said, if you're thirsty, come on. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come to me, you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you fulfillment. Woman at the well said, he gave me the water. She said, if you got the water to give, I want the water. Give me then this water. Hallelujah. Revival broke out because one woman, amen, got more than nominal Christianity. Wow. Will you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. I don't care if you go to a Pentecostal church with anointed preaching and the presence of God and the praise. If you don't look to Jesus for this water, you can't get it. The praise team can't give it to you. The preacher can't lay hands on you and inject it in you. There's only one who has it. One source. One fountain of life. How many know him by name? Woo! Glory to God. Say his name again. He declared himself. He said, I am the fountain of life. And there is a stream whose waters thereof Make glad the city of God. Hallelujah. And we need this morning to drink deep when we worship. To drink deep when the Word is bringing forth into our heart. To drink deep in our personal devotions. So that we can be so filled that out of our belly where we've been filling shall flow a river to a lost and dying world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! How many ready to drink deep this morning and not just go to church anymore? Hallelujah! Brother, let's call this church to be more than the convenient little church where you get your Sunday morning fix. If that's all we're going to become, we have no business being here, Sean. Because there's churches planted all over this city that can give you that little Sunday morning fix. They'll do it so conveniently and so entertainingly, it'll be something you have to put nothing into. All you got to do is show up, no matter what state of mind or heart you're in. You don't have to have a heart for God to go there. They'll be glad to see you. Shake your hand. Amen. Be glad for your check and the offering plate to help with their project, whatever it may be. If you want to tee off on the golf course, sir, at 9:30 a.m., there is a convenient 8 o'clock service for you to get your fix and be on that golf course. But if God wants to move to send a revival and not just build something out of stone and steeple and stained glass, He's going to have to work within people's hearts. Can you say amen? At some point in people's life, we're going to have to quit playing the church game. One of these days you're going to die, sir, ma'am. One of these days your heart is going to stop. Amen. And just having went to church, it's going to take more than that to be a comfort to you. But if you're already feasting upon that manna from above and you're already drinking from that living water, death is not an end for you. It is not a dark place. There is no such thing as chilly Jordan to you. Praise God. You're going to drink in full what you've been drinking of right here on the earth. Hallelujah. God, deliver us from dead, nominal religion, a form of godliness that denies the power. Some people in church, because they hold a Mickey Mouse office, they're not there to seek God. They're there because they have a title. You take away the title, they wouldn't show up. So we title as many people as we can possibly pin a label on. Some people are there for the fame and the glory. If I can't give my testimony, I don't want to even go because I got to be seen and heard on Sunday morning. Oh, church, there's something better than just looking at some egomaniac use God as their platform to show off. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If the church don't get hungry for God, there will be no revival in America. Amen. Statistics are telling us, in spite of the mega church movement, the morality of the family and the home and the children is beginning to mirror that of the world about us. So I'm asking the question, what's really going on? What's really happening? Can you say, man, it's not what happens at church, it's what's happening in the home and in the public arena after church is over. That shows whether revival and restoration has really come to America. If this church is going to become like the convenient church that gets you in and gives you your fix and sends you home unchallenged and unchanged, we have no reason for being here. There's plenty of them planted all over this city. And there's one that you can sit comfortably in and be comfortably numb to your own personal need for reality in Jesus Christ. But that is not our calling, and this is not a place for that. That's foolishness in the last days. God has called us to a higher calling. And when we grow, it'll be on people with a heart for God. Not people looking for a convenient place to get their religious fix on Sunday morning. And I'm telling you, I would rather be here with a few people with a heart for God than to stand before 1,000 churchgoers and deliver a message that will go unheard and unheeded and unappreciated and unapplied. Hallelujah. I'm hungry for the God of David. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. When there's a death in the family like this death, we need his strength. We went through this. We went through an OD of my brother-in-law, my wife's brother. A young man, comparatively, whose life was snuffed out. Only God's grace can pull us through, but God's grace can and will pull us through. And we pray God use these terrible, terrible events to speak to the living and to say this is what Satan offers has a hook in it, has a catch to it. It's still deadly. It still destroys beautiful lives. But Jesus said the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. You see his work of destruction everywhere. But I've come to give you life. And I've come to give it to you more abundantly. So, Father, turn this thing around. Lord, let this life that Satan wants to just absolutely just take victory, amen, throughout this whole family from, let this life be a turning point in so many other lives. Hallelujah, that you use this, Lord, what the devil meant for evil, that you turn it around. Hallelujah. And let something sweep through this family, Father. Through every person, and every heart, and give this woman courage and strength and peace that you are in control and you are moving by your Spirit even through this. In Jesus Christ's name, be glorified. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. In Jesus' holy name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All you that want revival in here now, will you please join hands with one another? Even now I am working behind the scenes. Even now in the spirit realm I am moving by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Even now, because you have set your heart upon me, even now, because you've made me your source, I am moving, I am working in hearts and working in lives. Even now, at a time like this, the Lord is still the Lord, saith God. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even now. Hallelujah. Even now, through tragedy, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn it around, Lord. Turn it around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you join hands? Even now, in your war-torn, war-weary world, where blood flows like streams, yea, even now, I am moving by my Spirit around thy world, and the great last day harvest is being brought in, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise in this place. Even now. Hallelujah, even now. Halalalabaka solabaraditi. Reshalabakera manata. Halabaki shalabadoro. Mandada basila bariti. Halabakasa. Even now. Let's join hands with one another. God has been so good. I want a church like this. Unedited, unaltered. Someday you made in a miracle, you'll need the manifest presence of God. A prayer of faith without his manifest presence will never produce miracles. You understand, faith doesn't stand alone. We need the presence of God, and we need to move into that presence by reverencing Him, revering Him, honoring Him, fearing Him. Feeling a sense of the holy again. Hallelujah. 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 There are those that cannot distinguish light from darkness, so they put light for darkness and darkness for light. There are those, even this day, who stand to lead my people, who cannot distinguish the holy from the profane. Yea, saith God, they become despisers of those that are good. But I say unto thee, keep your focus. Stake your stand. Revere me in your heart, and I will come unto thee and do wonders among thee. Prepare your heart for my presence, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. Will you join hands one more time? Glory to God. I feel like I'm at a camp meeting. I don't feel like I'm in. But you see, that's what's happening. The well-organized, well-oiled church machine is just moving right on as if nothing is happening in our world. No sense of urgency. No call to seek. The Laodicean age is here. It's upon us. A Christ with a message of repentance and purification stands knocking on the door. And the church looks at all it possesses and all its successes by man's barometer. And they say, I am rich and I am creased with goods and I have need of nothing. We got the best staff, the best teachers, the best preachers, the best praisers. The best facility, the best everything. And if there's not a heart for God and people repenting, being cleansed and seeking His holy presence, Jesus says you're blind.